All right, in light of the celebration of the supper today, we're going to be looking at a passage from the book of Luke, Luke chapter 24. It's on page 1125 in the Pew Bibles. I've been working through a series in Genesis, and I actually have one more to do there. We are planning on going through chapter 11 of Genesis, and so we're going to finish up next week with the Tower of Babel. And so today I wanted to look at Luke chapter 24. This story that we're looking at takes place on the very first Lord's Day. This is the day that the Lord rose from the dead. And so just 3 days earlier on that Friday, Jesus was crucified, he died, he was buried in a tomb. And then early that morning, that first day of the week, his tomb was found to be empty. So I'm going to read Luke 24, starting at verse 13, and I'll read through verse 35. 13 through 35. And remember, these are the words of God, and they will refresh your soul. So let's listen to them. That very day, which was the first day of the week, two of them, two disciples that is, were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered them, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a mighty prophet in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women from our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that he had seen an angel, that they had even seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were open. They recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread." That's the holy word of God. Have you ever had moments in your life where you have looked and looked and looked for something, but you couldn't find it, and you ask someone to help you, and they walk right into the room and they find it right away? And all along, it was right there staring you in the face in plain sight. Well, I confess that happens to me pretty regularly in life. Just last week, on our week of vacation, I got out of the shower, I was doing my toiletries things and brushing my teeth, and all those things. And I started to look for my deodorant, and it wasn't in my toiletries bag, and I searched through it 3 or 4 times just to make sure. I scanned the top of the dresser, and it wasn't there. I went into the bathroom. Maybe I brought it into the bathroom with me, but it wasn't there, and I start thinking ridiculous thoughts like, man, I wonder if someone used that deodorant. But of course, no one else would. I always think someone else did it instead of me. So I give up the search, and I thought, well, you know, we're just going to the beach. Probably not that important. I go into my bedroom then to get my sunglasses for the beach, and there's my deodorant sitting right there in plain sight on the dresser right next to my toiletries bag. It was staring at me and staring me in the face, but I couldn't see it. I'm guessing that situations like that have happened to you before in some way. You've been searching for something for a long time, and all the while it's right there in your hand, or your glasses are right there on your face. Apparently, this is actually a pretty common phenomenon. It even has a title. It's called inattention blindness. Inattention blindness. Even when something is in plain sight for you, you are, for some reason, unable to perceive that it's there. On YouTube, there's a short video that demonstrates this phenomenon of inattention blindness. And it's a video of 6 people. 3 are dressed in black and 3 are dressed in white. And you're given instructions to focus on how many times those dressed in white pass the basketball. And so you focus for 30 seconds trying to count the passes of the white team. And in the middle of this video, there's a person dressed in a gorilla suit that walks through the screen, and he walks in the middle of the group. He lingers a bit, he pounds his chest a little, and then he walks away. And it said that 50% of the people who watch that video don't even realize that it was there. They don't actually notice a gorilla. It was in plain sight, but they didn't actually see it. That's inattention blindness. Well, the disciples were victims of inattention blindness in this story. Jesus was right there in the flesh, walking with them on this road to a town called Emmaus, but they didn't recognize them. And it says that their eyes were kept from recognizing him because they were so focused on the fact that Jesus had just died, so focused on the troubles and circumstances that surrounded those days, they couldn't recognize him. He was standing there in plain sight, but they couldn't recognize him. And it says that they couldn't recognize him until he broke bread with them. It says when Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it, he gave it to them, and their eyes were finally opened. And they recognized that the risen Lord was with them. And he was with them all along. Jesus has promised that he will never leave us or forsake us. He promises to be with us wherever we go, holding us by our right hand. But so oftentimes we forget that he is there. And our eyes of faith are blinded, they're clouded, so that we cannot see him. And so we also suffer from inattention blindness. And when it sets in, we feel alone and discouraged, distracted, despairing, feel hopeless and sad. We're so distracted by what's going on around us that we fail to see that the risen Lord himself is with us, and he's been with us all along. And so throughout this journey, we need to have our eyes of faith reopened. We need the cataracts taken out of our eyes of faith so that we can see him clearly once again. And as we see in this passage, one of the primary things that Jesus uses to open our eyes so that we see him is through the breaking of bread, which at least directs our minds to the celebration of the Lord's Supper. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, when the bread is blessed, broken, and given, Jesus uses it to open our eyes, to remember that he is with us, and he's always been with us. He is with you. Have your eyes of faith grown cloudy? Do you feel discouraged, alone, in despair, hopeless, overwhelmed. Come to the table to have your eyes of faith reopened to see that the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ is with you. He's been with you all along, and He will be with you to the very end of time. Our story begins on this first day of the week, Sunday, just 3 days after Jesus was crucified. And earlier that Sunday morning, the tomb was found to be empty. And these two disciples are walking to a town about 7 miles away from Jerusalem called Emmaus. And these disciples are not two of the 12 disciples, Jesus' closest group of disciples, but they're two of the many people who had followed Jesus while He was here on earth, ministering here on earth. They were probably in Jerusalem that whole weekend celebrating the Passover and watching in real time, in real life, the events of the crucifixion and death of Jesus Christ. They watched these events unfold. And it's important for us to understand how confusing this was to those who observed these events. We, of course, reflect on these events 2,000 years after they happened, but they lived in the middle of it. They lived through it, and they couldn't make sense of what was actually happening, what was taking place. The one that they had staked their hope on has now died, and their lives have crashed to the ground. And it says in our passage that they were sad. So they were walking along this road, sad, and Jesus joined them as they walked along. But of course, the disciples didn't recognize Him. Jesus asks them what they're talking about, and He pretends to not know the events that have taken place in the last 3 days. And the disciples sort of fill Him in as to what's going on. They say, well, Jesus of Nazareth, the man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, He was delivered up by our chief priests and rulers to be condemned and crucified. But we had hoped that He was going to be the one who would redeem Israel. They had hoped that Jesus would be their Savior, the Savior of Israel, the people of God. But now they just watched Him die on a cross. And in their minds, those two things do not go together. We had hoped that He was the one who would redeem Israel, but now it's pretty obvious that He's not. It says that their eyes were kept from knowing Jesus, from recognizing Him. And there is no doubt a supernatural element here that keeps them from recognizing Him. Supernaturally, their eyes are blinded to the fact that this is Jesus. But I'd also say that there is an amount of inattention blindness going on here, spiritual inattention blindness. There are a number of things that are blinding these disciples to the reality that Jesus is walking right there with them. One of the things that blinds them is that they're blinded by sadness. It says that they are sad. And this sadness has so distracted them that they can't see Jesus right in front of them. I'm guessing that many of you have known sadness to such an extent that you go through life, stumble through life, really oblivious to what's going on around you. You're distracted. Sadness often so clouds our minds that we can't do simple tasks or we can't see simple things that are right in front of us. These disciples are saddened by the events that have happened. They can't see that Jesus is right there with them. They're also blinded from seeing Jesus because they're so focused on trying to make sense of the events that have happened. Jesus, a mighty man, a prophet before God, just died. They saw that He had incredible power. He rebuked demons and they scattered with their tails between their legs. But now He just died. How do these two historical realities match, go together? And so they're focused on all these events, trying to connect the dots. They can't make sense of it. And so it's like that YouTube video. You're so focused on the number of passes that the white team is making that you're oblivious to the fact that the gorilla has just walked across the screen. the disciples are focused on making these events make sense that they can't see Jesus. This spiritual inattention blindness is a constant recurrence in the Christian life, and I can attest to that in my own life. And I'm sure you can testify in the same way. We, if we know Christ, we have been born again by the Spirit of God, and at that moment we were given eyes of faith to see, and to specifically see Jesus. With the eyes of faith, we see the light of the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ. We see His majesty and beauty as our Creator and Savior and King. We see that He is the risen Lord who is with us, that He holds us by our right hand, that He will never leave us or forsake us, that He will always do good to us. We see Jesus through the eyes of faith. But every single day, multiple times a day it seems, those eyes of faith get clouded over for various reasons. And even though Jesus is right there next to us, we can't see Him. And so we panic because we feel alone and hopeless, and it leads us to despair. We know for a fact that Jesus walks with us. We know for a fact that He is our good shepherd, leading us through the valley of the shadow of death. He is the one who is our help, who never slumbers or sleeps. He is our victorious King, leading us into battle against darkness. He is our refuge in times of trouble. He is our rock when nothing else is stable. He is our friend when all our friends have abandoned us. He is our guide when we are lost. He is our righteousness when we have sinned. These are facts, the realities. But we so often get distracted by the circumstances and events of our lives. Or we get confused. We fall into sin. Fears begin to grip our hearts and anxieties fill our minds. And even though He's right there next to us, we can't see Him. We feel confused and alone and afraid. We regularly suffer from inattention blindness. Well, what does Jesus do with these blind disciples? Well, He does two things with them. First, He grounds them in Scripture, and then He breaks bread and gives it to them. He grounds them in Scripture, breaks bread and gives it to them, and that's when their eyes are opened. So first, He grounds them in Scripture. After they share with Him their confusion, saying, we thought that He was the one who would redeem Israel, but now I guess we were wrong. Jesus says, "Oh, foolish ones, and so slow of heart to believe, but all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and then enter into His glory?" And then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He interpreted to them the Scriptures, the things concerning Himself. What He's saying is this. He's saying that you're discouraged. The reason why you're discouraged or sad and afraid is because you don't know and believe well enough what the Bible says. The reason why you're hopeless is because you don't know the promises of God. And so there, starting with Genesis, Jesus went through all the books of Moses, went through the Psalms, went through the prophets, and He shows how all of those books speak of Him. That He had to suffer and die and then rise again and then enter into glory and be enthroned over all things. Imagine hearing Jesus, who is the author of all the Scriptures, expounding His words, showing how they all speak of Him. Part of the remedy to spiritual blindness or spiritual inattention blindness is to know and believe the Word of God, to have our hearts and our lives saturated with the promises of God, to chew on those promises all throughout the day, to meditate on them throughout the night, to study, to listen to those who explain it, our emotions and our feelings that we wrestle with day by day grow out of what we believe to be true. It grows out of our interpretation of the events that happen in this world. And when we neglect the Bible, very quickly those truths of the Bible get replaced with lies, and we begin to believe lies, and that leads us to fear and discouragement and hopelessness in life. These disciples are starting to believe that Jesus was just a good con man and he was pulling the wool over their eyes. They were beginning to believe that he just proved to be a fake because he's now dead. They were beginning to believe lies in place of the truth, and as a result, led them to despair. Led them to fear and sadness. Hopelessness. And so Jesus simply brings back to them, the truth back to them. He shows that the Word of God is true and right. Psalm 19 says that the Word of God revives the discouraged soul, brings joy to the saddened heart, enlightens the eyes of those who are downcast and hopeless. These disciples were discouraged, saddened, downcast, and hopeless. And so Jesus grounds them in the Scripture, reminds them of the truth, reminds them of the promises of God, and that is what revives their souls, enlightens their eyes, and brings joy to their hearts. It says in verse 32 of our passage that when Jesus spoke about the Word, their hearts burned within them. Their hearts burned within them. The embers of their heart had grown so cold through confusion and sadness that they needed to be fanned back into flame. And through the Word of God, they were fanned back into flame. Their hearts were inflamed again. They were injected with joy and hope and encouragement and faith. As you and I, as we wrestle with the feelings of despair and sadness or fear and anxiety, frustration and anger, dive into the Word of God, the words of Jesus. Listen again and again to the promises and the truths that Jesus Himself is telling you. These are the words of Christ. Right here in the Bible, we have the words of Christ. They will inject us with joy and encouragement and peace and grace and love and great, great hope. J.I. Packer said that if he were the devil, he would try to keep Christians from reading the Bible. And I'd agree with him, because if Satan could imprison our minds with lies without the Bible, then those lies will never be uprooted. Are you believing lies? Have lies taken root into your heart, into your mind, in your soul? Be grounded in the Word of God and replace those lies with the truth of God. And it will inject you with hope and joy and encouragement and great, great faith. Be grounded in the Word of God. So that's the first thing that Jesus does with these blind disciples. He grounds them in the Word, showing that it all speaks of Him. And then the second thing that He does is that He breaks bread and gives it to them. As they arrive in Emmaus, it says that Jesus was going to continue on, but the two disciples, and remember that they hadn't yet recognized Him as Jesus. They knew there was something special about this guy, but they said, you know, it's getting late. They encouraged Him to stay with them. It's getting late. Stay with us tonight. So Jesus stayed with them, and they gathered around the evening meal. And Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to His disciples. And it was at that moment, in the breaking of bread, that their eyes, their blind eyes, were opened, and they recognized Jesus. That was the moment that their inattention blindness was lifted, and they saw who they were really speaking with, that Jesus was with them. Well, what's going on here? Why was their blindness lifted when they ate together? The two disciples specifically recount later on that Jesus was known to them through the breaking of bread. I'm convinced that this meal was a celebration of the Lord's Supper. And commentators are not all agreed on this, but they would all agree that at least it is an allusion to the Lord's Supper. It's meant to get our minds to think about the Lord's Supper. And I want to point out three interesting little attention grabbers here that give us indication that this is likely the celebration of the supper. First, Jesus, the guest, oddly took on the role as host. He was a guest, invited to stay, but he took the bread. He blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it. When we come to the Lord's Supper, Jesus is the host. He's the one serving us. In a very real and spiritual way, we are brought into the throne room of Jesus himself, and we're gathered around God's table, and Jesus is our great host who serves us this meal, the meal of his body. Jesus took on the role of host. The second note that grabs our attention is the similarity of the language that's used. When Jesus first instituted the Lord's Supper with his disciples just 4 days earlier, this is what he said in Matthew 26:26. Jesus took the bread. After blessing it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples. Luke 22:19, just two chapters before this one that we're looking at. And he took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them. And now 3 days later, 4 days after that first Lord's Supper celebration in the town of Emmaus, he's gathered with his disciples again. And it says he took bread, blessed, and broke it and gave it to them. He is the divine host giving the symbol of his broken body to his disciples to eat and to be nourished. So first, he took on the role as host. Second, he used the same wording in the celebration of the supper the first time. And the third attention grabber is the fact that at that moment, these disciples recognized him. This passage is very precise, intentional to say in both verse 31 and 35 that it was when they broke the bread, or when he broke the bread with them, that is when their eyes were opened. Their inattention blindness was lifted. Their eyes of faith were opened. The clouds were taken away. And they saw that it was Jesus, that he was with them, and that he had been with them all along. If this isn't the actual celebration of the supper, it's most clearly meant to direct our minds in that direction. The Lord's Supper is what we refer to as a means of grace. A means of grace. And that simply means that it's something that God uses to make us grow in our faith. To grow in our love for Him. It's one of the things that God uses to lift the blindness from our eyes so that we can see Jesus more clearly and that He's with us and that He's been with us all along. Even though we received spiritual eyes when we were born again, we need those eyes refreshed. Gets clouded by distraction. And the reason why we celebrate the Lord's Supper regularly is because we believe that God uses it to restore our vision, our spiritual sight, so that we see Jesus more clearly. And we're reminded that He's with us now and forever. The disciples were sad and discouraged and confused, and they could not see Jesus. They couldn't see the risen Lord walking right there with them. And so in order to open their eyes, Jesus first reminds them of the truth of His Word, replacing the lies that they are beginning to buy into, and replaces them with the truth. And then He broke bread with them, offering to Him the symbols of His broken body. And at that moment, their eyes were opened, and they saw the Lord Jesus. And they were filled with great joy. Do you suffer from inattention blindness right now? Are your eyes so clouded over, so distracted by the circumstances that you're going through, that you cannot see that the Lord is with you right now and He's been with you all along the way? If you believe in Jesus Christ and rest in Him as your Savior, then the promise is that He's right there next to you. If you do suffer from inattention blindness, then you've come to the right place. because this is the place where Jesus speaks to you and to me and to us as a body. He speaks to us His words of truth. And this is where Jesus invites us to His table so that we can feast on Him. So that our eyes will be open and we'll see Him in all His glory and beauty. That we'd be reminded that He is our good shepherd as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He is our helper who never slumbers or sleeps. He is our victorious King who leads us in the battle against darkness. He's our refuge in times of trouble. He's our rock when nothing else is stable. He's our friend when our friends have left us. He's our guide when we're lost. He is our righteousness when we sin. He's with you now. And He's been with you all along. And He'll be with you to the very end. See Him with the eyes of faith and find your rest in Him. Let's pray. Our Lord Jesus, thank You for being our God and our King and our Savior. For being our great shepherd, our guide, our help, our refuge, and our rock. We confess that every day we go through a spell of inattention blindness, and our eyes of faith get clouded over, and we can't see You, and we panic and despair because we lose hope. Your word says that You are with us, and You'll never leave us, and You will do good to us in Your eternal love. We cling to this promise. And we walk through this valley with confidence that You hold us by our right hand. And You walk with us every step of the way. Now open our eyes through Your word and through the breaking of bread and let us see Your glory. Let us receive these gifts by faith. Show us who You are. We come in Your great name. Amen.